This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I've got a full show this morning. Joining me is Senator Darren Pickstock, and we will be taking a walk through the recent national address, discuss the new composition of the cabinet. I'm very interested in the rationale behind the composition of the ministries, right? We have a number of new ministries before us. And I've got some questions, but I'm also very interested to hear from a senator's perspective what the next 2.5 years of a Davis administration is going to look like in the Bahamas. But I got a lot of housekeeping to get through. Before we get there, first of all, I got to say happy birthday to my good cousin, Gia Bailey Poitier. I just need you all to know that Gia is preparing to step into the role of the number one Mitchell. She is now in charge of all cooking, all baking, and all yummy things to go in our bellies. And we say to her, we hope you enjoy this day. We hope it is the best day. I tell you a little secret. I know somebody you know who has a mango, and it may be yours. Happy birthday, Gia Bailey Poitier. Also, another very important meeting notice. This Thursday, the 7th of September, the Hannah Hastie Tynes Family Association General Meeting will be held at St. John's Auditorium at 6:30 p.m., let me repeat that, all Hannah Hastie's and Tynes family members are called to St. John's Auditorium, 6:30 p.m., Thursday, the 7th of September, as we get into our reunion planning and we begin the selection process for committees. So now is the time to come out if you have your eye on a particular committee or a particular function. And since we have Senator Pickstock with us, we're going to compose a cabinet today. And so we're going to give some tips on putting together the best committees ever. It's going to be a fun show. Now, I've got, boy, headlines are filled with news. Some of them intersect with our conversation. Some of them don't. We'll see how it goes. But I've got the on-the-clock sand dollar trivia giveaway ready for you this morning. Every day for the next month, we'll be giving away sand dollars to digital wallet holders. Every week, players can win $30 in sand dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number and wallet information. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once, and if you answer by text, please put your sand dollar wallet information in the text with the answer. Your text doesn't qualify as a correct answer until I get your sand dollar wallet information. So here is, well, let me throw out the numbers, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259-242-300-5720. Again, that's toll-free for people in the Bahamas but not in New Providence, 242-300-5720. And our text line is always powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. It's back to school time. I know this because traffic was backed up all the way past Blair at 9:25 this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. The vast majority of this backup is caused by people not paying attention when they're driving. You got to pay attention when you're driving. You got to keep pace with the cars in front of you. Most importantly, you may be frustrated with traffic and your life, but that doesn't mean you have the right to obstruct traffic to get your power back. Don't stop your car for no reason, because letting somebody out of a side corner is called no reason. Your greatest obligation is to the drivers behind you to maintain the flow of traffic. You are not Jesus. This is not the way that you repent for your sins. You fly out and cut somebody off at a corner, so your next move is to allow somebody else to come out a corner, as if that will grant you grace and mercy from your Savior for doing what you know you wasn't supposed to do. Again, I can't imagine that there's so much traffic on the road, a road that's a dual carriageway. But I know why. Because y'all don't understand what a dual carriageway is, and nobody taught you how to use it. But that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but there's nothing I could do about it, so for this moment, it's okay. However, it's important for people to understand the awesome responsibility that they take up when they sit themselves behind the wheel of a car. Somebody expressed to me this weekend that it's not a big deal, Aaron. You're making a whole lot of noise about nothing. That's what people say when they've not lost a loved one to a traffic fatality. That's what people who don't have to take care of a loved one every day because they've lost the ability to take care of themselves because of a traffic accident. And so to the woman this morning that was driving up the middle of the road, slowly, she's safely because, you know, when you're on your cell phone, you want to drive slow to be safe. I have another suggestion. When you want to be safe, you don't use your cell phone while you're driving. It's as simple as that. So here is your weekly reminder that it is still against the law to drive with a cell phone in your hand, whether you're using it or not. It's still against the law to text and drive. And even before we had the law explicitly expressing that these things are illegal, you had a law, an offense called driving without due care and attention. And believe you me, they don't mean attention to your phone. They mean attention to the road and the 360 degrees around you. It's also still an offense to turn left on red anywhere but University Drive and University Commons. And even if you think that they had an amendment on the table to amend the law, they done prorogued the house. They're going to have to retable that bill if they intend to change the law. So as of right now, it's still illegal to turn left on red. And it's always been illegal to turn right on red, especially at Mackey Street and Shirley Street. Again, the audacity of people that hold a public service license, the audacity of people who drive public commercial vehicles with the names of the companies clearly printed on the side of them, the audacity of people that drive tourists through our country to so flagrantly break the law, and then to have the audacity to look at ordinary Bahamians and suggest to them that they should eat the brunt of the liability. You should just lie, like I am lying to the police, and do me a favor, because I don't want to lose my public service license. Here's a way to not lose your public service license. Don't turn right on red. It's even simpler than having to argue with bad-head Bahamians who took it upon themselves to follow the law, and you didn't. Anyway, that's just a small note, because let me repeat our question for the day. What does the W in C.W. Sawyer Primary School stand for? What does the W in C.W. Sawyer primary schools stand for? And if I get an answer from someone who could prove, if you get the question correct and you could prove you went to CW Sawyer Primary School, I have a Chikchani that has a mango. And you could get that mango too. Anyway, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, text line powered by BTC, our sand dollar on the clock giveaway. Question, what does the W stand for in CW Sawyer Primary School? I see we got a call coming in. We just begin the show. Good morning, Senator Pickstock.
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
How are you?
I'm in wonderful, tip-top shape.
I am glad that you are here. Yesterday we had a very heavy conversation about the national address and the shift in cabinet, the new composition of the cabinet. I'm glad that I have somebody who is a part of the political machinery here today and the Davis administration to walk us through what we heard and what we didn't hear, right? Sometimes things are said between the lines. But I will let you begin, sir, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Good. My name is Darren Pickstock. Mm-hmm. I'm a senator in the government. I was appointed by Prime Minister Davis. Mm-hmm. And so I'm forever grateful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I prepared these questions as if I was speaking to the Prime Minister. And so I know that a number of these questions you may not be able to speak to at all or in its entirety. But here we go. There are a lot of shifts in the composition of the cabinet, in the composition of the ministries, right, that make up the cabinet. And so the first question that I have for you is there a theme for the second half of the Davis administration term?
Is there a theme?
Well, yeah.
Well, I would say this, Aaron. The commitments made in our blueprint for change, I mean, are still our priority.
Okay.
So that is the contract that the government made with the Bahamian people.
All right.
Let's be clear.
So there's not been a shift in that sense in terms of the administration's agenda.
No.
Still focused on the commitments made in the
Blueprint for Change. And that's by creating more inclusive economy, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
That's investing in our people, which is most important. And promoting Bahamian ownership, right? That's the overarching theme
okay.
of the blueprint.
Absolutely.
That is still our priority.
Is there a place where citizens, ordinary people, even interested foreign investors could go to see this commitment or this plan or this mission statement manifested through policies? Is there a place where the successes and initiatives referenced in the national speech where we could go and take a look at documentation about those issues, crises, areas, even new industry, development of new industries?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of places that you can go. I mean, the OPM website is very active.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the Ministry, the Investment, Tourism, Aviation and Investments. Their platform, again, too, very active. You can go on the Ministry of Economic Affairs website, again, to see exactly. All of the ministries have their respective website as well,
mm-hmm.
that you can go on to see exactly what is happening in the respective ministries. These are very active website, and they're up to date. And so I would encourage people to look at them, to look at the policies of the government, and to see what the government is doing.
Absolutely. There's been a new ministry, a new reshifting, right? Hmm. Social services, information, and broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Being led by the Honorable Obadiah Wilchcombe, right?
That's right.
Will that new information portfolio or will information and broadcasting portfolio have a function or take on the role of organizing, correlating, organizing, and disseminating data and information about government programs, about administration policies, ideas, shifts in an easily accessible way. Because I'm excited about a portfolio of information. I know it's not a standalone ministry, but not just its potential to enhance this administration's production, right? But also, will this portfolio of information house the data protection commissioner? Will it house the, or will it provide oversight for the operation of the Freedom of Information Act? And a question I want to throw out there, is any ministry, I think that one is the one that I'm looking at in particular, being resourced to provide oversight or to respond to the introduction and operation of artificial intelligence and AI tools in the country, and to scope out a legal framework to protect consumers, users, and the ordinary individual from malfeasance and malicious activity related to AI.
Right. So, I mean, that's a very loaded one.
Yeah.
But again, the minister responsible, Obadiah Wilchkin, is the social service minister,
mm-hmm.
Information broadcasting and leader of government business in the House of Assembly, and he this is his background, right? But Aaron, let's be clear about the process of a cabinet shuffle, because I know that that is exactly what is on people's mind, and that is the questions you're asking me. And I think it's a time-honored and respected process in the Westminster system,
mm-hmm.
of government. We inherited from the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is constitutional, Aaron. Just last week, as a matter of fact in the UK, the Minister of Defense demitted office for personal reasons.
Yeah.
And a new minister had to be named to replace the outgoing minister, and thus causing a reshuffling of the cabinet. So my point here is, this is not unusual.
Mm.
Yeah? It is not unusual.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think anybody's questioning whether it's unusual or not. Give me a second. Producer, let's go to a break for a second, please. It's not a matter of whether it's unusual or not, although some people out there are questioning it.
Absolutely.
I think what people are more concerned about is the lack of information regarding the rationale behind the cabinet shuffle and at this time. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation.
Yes.
It's a good conversation, because let's clear that up. This is reasonable to have a cabinet shuffle, but it's also reasonable for us to want to understand why the cabinet shuffle and what's the rationale behind the changes, because it helps us as citizens prepare ourselves to better support this particular policy shift or administrative shift.
I think there's a simple answer to that, but
yeah. After the break, we'll get right to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned, 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. I want you guys, thank you. We had to take a little short break just now. I see I've got a caller on the line. Guys, you are on the clock. I'm on the clock. I've got Senator Darren Pickstock in studio, so I got to ask him as many questions as possible while he's here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. You called to answer the trivia question?
Yes.
I am ready for you, ma'am.
Is it Walpole?
Yes, it is Walpole. W-A-L-P-O-L-E. Yes, ma'am. The W in C.W. Sawyer Primary School stands for Walpole. Thank you very much. And you gave the producer your information?
Yes, I did.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I also have a text winner. Well, good morning, Winston. You also have won a prize. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
I even
got a second question for y'all. I'm going to throw it out there and let's see how it goes. And you may notice a theme and a trend, so you can start preparing yourself for the questions because they're going to be the same theme all week. Second Sand Dollar Trivia question for the day. What does the H stand for in Preston H. Albury High School? What does the H, and it don't stand for Habaco or Harbor Island. It don't stand for that.
Habaco.
Good morning, everyone. The numbers are called 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 300-5720. Okay, let's get back into it because I got tons of questions about the rationale behind the selection of ministers for particular ministries. But I think more pressing for me and for the Bahamian public is what is the rationale behind the composition of the new ministries, and what does this administration expect to produce? Is it intent, you know, do they think that combining these ministries or sectors in this way will enhance their ability to govern and administer, right? Administrate in these spaces? For instance, I'm excited to see a new portfolio called energy, right? I think that separating BPL from utilities suggests a new approach to management and the operation of the energy sector. And I think
Separating it from works.
Yeah, separating it from works. Yeah. Some people say that may be problematic, and it may be initially in terms of reorganizing the way that people work and the way that ministries interact with each other. But I think that by framing the sector in this way, we create a more effective environment for management and for reform. But can you speak to the rationale behind energy portfolio and then energy and transport together?
Well, again, let's be clear. The Prime Minister made his decision. It's his cabinet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he made his decisions, and I think, you know, it's important to understand in his address to the nation, he made it very clear that this is a realignment with priorities. So he is prioritizing his cabinet, and so this is simply a realignment of some of the portfolios within cabinet, and so again, you know. Again, these things aren't unusual, right?
Yeah, no.
Even from a composition standpoint, it's not unusual to realign. And you know, I simply don't understand why the opposition is making so much noise about it. I mean, But I guess they really don't have anything else to or any new ideas to present, because this is not unusual.
I mean, yeah, a shifting of cabinet isn't unusual. I'm actually interested to see. I think there was an announcement that some PSs and senior level civil servants will
yes.
also shift. I'm interested in seeing those shifts as well. But again, I also would wish that the opposition offer a more substantive critique, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous to suggest that cabinet shuffles are unnecessary. But, like, I've got some questions. We have appointed Basil McIntosh for Minister of State for Aviation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sits in the Ministry of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation. Will McIntosh liaise between the ministry responsible for aviation and the Ministry of Transport, right? Are we building bridges with this new alignment of sectors?
Right.
Because one of the biggest questions I have, and perhaps I can ask you as a parliamentary colleague, right, is energy and transport is a massive undertaking as a singular ministry. Did you expect a minister of state being placed in that portfolio to support JoBeth Colby, or is this realignment constructed in a way that parliamentary secretaries and ministers of state can move between ministries and support in those similar areas?
All right. I mean, Aaron, don't forget the Prime Minister has not concluded. There are more people that will be moved, like you indicated previously.
Yeah.
And there is a whole mechanism to support the minister and all ministers in their ministry, from the parliamentary secretary, from the permanent secretary,
mm-hmm.
From the technocrats in that ministry. And so, you know, governments function when all of these roles are filled and people do their specific function. But Aaron, I want to, you know, I think the Prime Minister was very clear, and I don't want to deviate from what the Prime Minister has pronounced. He has said that he wished to realign his cabinet ministry or his cabinet portfolios, and he has given very good reasons for that. I mean,
well, give me some of the reasons.
Right? He made it very clear. He has given very good reasons for that. I mean, if for instance, if we look simply at Minister Colby Davis, I mean, as Minister responsible for housing, for instance, she's revitalized a housing department that had not built a single home.
I'm not okay with the Ministry of Housing not building a single home in years, because the Ministry of Housing should have been building multi-occupancy units and apartments, because the problem...
Well, that's
The problem of the inability to access mortgages by the average Bahamian has been solved in some part by the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation. But a larger housing crisis looms, and many of us expected the focus to be on lower income individuals who are never even attempting to get a mortgage and require a different residential structure. Some people, their employment status and their economic status render them paying weekly rent. Some people are able to pay monthly rent, and some people are limited to renting but are able to pay, you know, to engage a yearly lease. Is there going to be a shift in the second half of the administration to a housing program that seeks to provide affordable access to housing for those who are most vulnerable to homelessness and to being unhoused?
Well, I think that it is very clear that housing is a challenge
yeah.
in the Bahamas.
Right? I go as far as to say crises.
Yeah, it's not a secret. But to be in government for 4 years, Aaron, and not build one single home is a disgrace. We can't get around that fact. And we have to recognize that in her ministry, Minister Jobeth Colby has gone through and built multiple subdivisions throughout the Bahamas and low-cost, affordable housing for the less among us.
Before I go to this call, producer, you could turn when the numbers red. Would a more effective strategy be to focus on stronger regulation of the private home construction and home development, residential development market, so that they can better accommodate Bahamians and focus energy on apartments, tiny homes, and creating a model for tiny homes in a hurricane zone? It could be both an economic pursuit that the government enables or initiates, because the biggest problem with tiny homes is we live in a hurricane zone, and will they be safe and meet the hurricane codes? But tiny homes are what people need in the Bahamas. But let's stick, I mean, you can finish it out and then we can transition.
Right. I mean, I don't want to get away from the point. Under the Ministry of Housing, under the Minister of Housing, there was a rent to own program that the government is rolling out, right? That would afford people to rent and then own their property after a period of time, to give and open the scope even wider to home ownership.
The accessibility, yeah.
Absolutely. We cannot get around the fact that the Minister of Housing, in her short term as the minister, have launched Pinecrest, Renaissance Developments, Renaissance at Carmichael, and other developments throughout, even the Family Islands. And that is, I think, a remarkable effect after not building any homes for 4 years. Let's be clear about it.
We could put that on either, like I said, we could put that on either side of the table. What I hope to see from the Ministry of Housing over the last 4 years was a focus on legal reform, a land registry, legal reform, tightening up oversight and regulations for actors in the industry. But that means
when you say legal reform, what are you pointing to exactly?
So when I say legal reform, I think that we need regulations. We need landlord, tenant, and property owner regulations bound by legislation.
That's in place.
Well, then we need to improve it, or to improve the enforcement mechanisms, because what we do know is that we have a number of unscrupulous landlords that are taking advantage of residents, of renters, of tenants. We know that we also have tenants that are problematic for landlords, and so we expect accommodation in that sense as well. We're not just saying that the landlords are the problem.
Right.
We need the land registry cleared up, because a number of people want to go back to the family island that they come from to build on and are left unable to clearly identify land to the legal processes of determining accurate title and ownership of land is problematic. And I think that a lot of people are left struggling to find land where it's currently available as an alternative to finding accessing land that should be available to them, but for various reasons, they have difficulty determining title, right? And all of those things, particularly on family islands. Another thing that I think would help is, and I know this is perhaps out of your purview.
Well, I'm a real estate attorney.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I can tell you that it is a major challenge. And we will, I think, eventually get to an organized land registration system. And in fact, Aaron, that is one of the government's priorities in its blueprint for change, establishing a land, organized land registry system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Texas, give me a second. I got the phone line. It's lit up, producer. Let's go to that first call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for your patience.
For your guests. But when it comes to housing, what I don't understand for the life of me, and now so we only got so much land.
Yeah.
You understand? Only so much 50 by 100 you could carve up.
Uh-huh.
What happened to green spaces with nice high-rise apartment complexes or building complexes? Why don't they go to that? Like how Freeport has the Mohawk models where you can get 200-300 person in a building complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I really call for, I often hear parliamentarians that say that the Davis government or his cabinet, technically, I mean, truly speaking, it's not his cabinet because the word democracy comes from the Greek word demos, kratos, which means people, and kratos means rule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the people's government. It's the people's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have bastardized the Westminster system to the point where we believe in all sorts of things. So we need to get with it and stop saying.
Our. Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. Good morning, caller. You calling to answer the trivia question? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, Erin.
Yes.
I'm calling concerning a question, Matt, I put to you day before yesterday with the Farquharson's estate.
Okay, but this is not the appropriate. I'm sorry, caller. I have Senator Pickstock on.
Yeah, and I want to say something in reference to him also.
Okay, well, let's move forward to that.
He's saying with the land registry.
Yes.
That he is a real estate attorney.
Yes.
But there is no land registry in the Bahamas. The only registration of land is with the foreign persons registration of land under the International Persons Land Holdings Act.
And so there no other register exists?
No, no land registry exists.
Okay. I got you.
I don't know, you know, when you record your land in the record your deeds in the registrar general office,
uh-huh.
It isn't a land registry.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
Okay, but I'll get back to you on the other matter
yes,
of the day.
Absolutely. 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 Good morning, caller. You calling to answer the trivia question? Good morning, caller. You calling to answer the trivia question?
Oh, no. I was just asking a question to the senator.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I heard you mentioned about building homes more than your last administration.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason why they were not able to build homes at that period of time? That's
the
question.
The last administration.
Yeah. And also, is it affordable? You know, they say low-cost homes. But what is the breakdown on how much these people have to pay per month? Could they afford these homes? That's the question. Two questions I have, okay?
Thank you, caller. Let me answer the second question first. It's called low-cost housing, but that's not actually what the model provides to you. The low-cost housing in parentheses model provides a financing mechanism, right? And that financing mechanism is accessible to people who may not qualify for a mortgage in a traditional commercial bank. Although the name of the program suggested that the cost of the home would be less, really what the mechanism in the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation provides is a mortgage with lower criteria for qualification to get the mortgage. Right. And the first question, if you wanted to respond to that.
Can you repeat that question? Is this the, well, the first question was a registry.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the point was the government is trying to get to a organized land registration system.
Yes.
So I don't think we said that there's one that exists.
Oh, I say it all the time. I say that we need to find out where the missing pages for Mayor Gwona and Grand Bahama are all the time, and that may imply to people that there's a formal, structured registry in a form that they expect. So it's probably my fault.
Yeah. So, but the call is right. There's no land registry that exists other than the land registration system, where when you purchase land and you record, your deeds are recorded. But Aaron, I really want to get back to what I see as just a very strange thing with the former administration. And I think we have to remember that Hubert Mintz shuffled his cabinet within 13 months of coming to office. Let me remind you, Aaron, and this is where we can see clearly the duplicity of Mr. Pintard himself, right? Because he was serving as Minister of Youth. Let's not forget. Mm-hmm. Sports and culture in the F&M cabinet. Mm-hmm. In the F&M cabinet appointed after the May 2017 general election. Mr. Pintard had just returned from whom? At the Commonwealth Youth Conference in Africa, if you recall. I think is when he was shuffled out of the Ministry of Youth and sent to the Ministry of Agriculture, if you recall, of Youth and Marine Resources. F&M Minister Frankie Campbell, again, Aaron, he too was shuffled out of transport and sent to social services. Yeah?
So let's stick a pin there. A number of people will say, have said they expected Bell to be fired. Bell was shifted to another ministry. Right? Put that on the side. Is the PLP doing the same thing that the F&M did? By just shifting ministers without any real substantive engagement about their performance at the prior ministry? Because Frankie Campbell's shift, people were extremely disappointed in his work in social services and the infamous statement, "I mind my business 6 months out of the year and I stay out of other people's business the other 6 months of the year." People felt it was inappropriate for a minister of social services to utter those words, and perhaps reflected that he didn't understand his job. What are the markers that are going to be used to assess the performance of ministers in these ministries?
Again, Aaron, I think it's very important to understand that the Prime Minister indicated that this is a realignment of portfolios. I don't necessarily understand why the issues with Minister Bell. I mean, if we want to focus on Minister Bell's accomplishments.
But no, it's not a focus on the accomplishments. It's a focus on the management and the operation of the cabinet. I don't want to talk about the F&M's performance because we could sit here all day and I could mark their report card all day with my red pen, right? I don't want to talk about that, but I want to talk about how the PLP is going to ensure that they don't perform at the level that the F&M performed at. It's one thing to point out the deficiencies, but tell me how you're going to ensure that your ministers stay above the standard set by the F&M and create a new standard for the operation of the cabinet and for governance.
Well, I think that is being done, and I think the Prime Minister is looking at his cabinet and assessing his cabinet, and as a result of his overview, has determined that he wants to align his cabinet with the strong with the priorities of his government. And I think that the Prime Minister is in complete control of his cabinet. Wherever there are things that are not being done, I'm sure the Prime Minister is well versed enough to determine if he needs to speak to a minister or not. But I don't want to digress, Aaron, because your question points me to really look at how the minister himself performs in his portfolio, because that's what you're saying to me, right? Like, you know, how is this minister performing?
Well, like, to be honest, what I was saying to you is, let's not talk about the FNM and their performance, because we could equally rate the PLP and their performance. And I think that the bipartisan critique takes away from the strength of the PLP's platform. Don't compare yourself to the FNM.
Absolutely not.
I'll have a field day in here today making the comparisons myself. But like I said, I'm more interested in the extent to which the PLP can outperform its own ideas.
Again,
right? Its own commitments.
Agreed. Okay, well, let's look at it. Let's look at Aaron. Minister Bell, who will be the new Minister of Housing and Urban Renewal? As Minister of Labor and Immigration, mm-hmm. Minister Bell recruited record numbers of immigration officers. And we have to go back to it. If you're asking the question like that, we have to look at how the ministers performed in their role, mm-hmm. right? And under his leadership, he oversaw record numbers of repatriations, a major issue in our country, led the construction of a detention center and facility in Inagua with capacity for 800 people. We have to look at it, Aaron.
But we're still questioning, the constitutionality of the operation of a detention center in Inagua. In fact, we haven't even been able to have a real conversation about it. Oh, there are constitutional issues that arise, right? And so, you know, what I'm hoping to see in this new administration is a new model of governance that not just supports but encourages greater public engagement and public discourse, right? This conversation, I think, is a great conversation, but it's also one that should be had publicly, right? And so we're having it now, but people are interested in the performance. And the truth is, some of the things you are preparing to say, that people probably don't know.
All right.
Right?
Absolutely.
People probably don't know. And we don't get to have a critical, we don't ever get to have a critical conversation, right? And when I say critical, I'm talking about critical interrogation as opposed to bipartisan critique, which just seems to be a tit for tat and a back and forth, right? That can be easily deconstructed as a waste of time. But what I'm hoping for in the second half of this term, as we close out the administration, is to see an administration that's prepared to have conversations like these, that's prepared to thresh out and flesh out the issues, and engage public discourse and public critique.
And I think, I know, Aaron, that the Davis administration are prepared and are having conversations, right, and public discourse on numerous issues mm-hmm. That affect the public. You know, this is not a one-man band.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. This is an administration that is seeking consensus. Look, the Bahamian people voted the PLP in to govern, mm-hmm. right? And that is what the Davis administration is doing.
But can the Davis administration create policy for the people without a real substantive engagement of the people? Creating effective mechanisms that are accessible, right, equitably, by everyone, to enable the administration to have access to as much information as possible. Okay, let me read through a list of questions, right, that I want to be able to ask anybody in this administration, right? Things that I think people are excited about, but more important, want to understand so that they can prepare themselves to be a part of this administration's work, whether directly connected to the public service or by providing an auxiliary service to support an initiative, an industry sector, right? Community projects. Like, for instance, one of the questions, you know, I wanted to ask you to, if you could do, was to, after we identify that we've got a portfolio for investments, a portfolio for economic affairs, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the Ministry of Finance. Why are these three portfolios, I know we're running out of time. We're all out of time. Why are these three portfolios distinct, right? Because they're all money. They're all talking about money and investment. But why are they distinct? It turns out in the limited conversation we had walking up here that this is legitimate, right? Like, there are very real reasons why. Economic affairs deal with our global international economic relationships, the treaties, right. The rules,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. OECD, all of the treaties that we're a part of. And whereas, you know, the Ministry of Finance is dealing with pure financial matters that relate to the country,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas the Ministry of Investments mm-hmm. is focused on promoting the Bahamas as a friendly place to do business,
right?
And also vetting and approving foreign direct investment coming into the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
And I think that the Prime Minister, again, has aligned his cabinet in this way to give priority and focus on each one of these particular areas.
Right, and I think that that's something that people can understand once it's explained, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to thinking, well, there's three people doing the same job, right?
No.
Whether it's a waste of resources or a waste of money, now people can get a better sense of why resources are being allocated in this way. And with further engagement in discourse, people will understand the relationships between each sector and portfolio and how they impact the operation of other ministries and other industries, right? And I think that helps whoever the administration is engage critique, because you have a more informed discussion, because you have more informed participants in the discussion. But Mr. Senator Pickstock, we are all out of time. We got to go to our news break. I want to thank you very much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting me. And I look to be back on your show to take a deeper dive into some of these issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Listen, guys, we are all out of time. I want to say I apologize to the callers I couldn't get to the texts I didn't read. I'm going to show them to the senator, those that were intended to be read on air. Some of y'all did not intend for these to be read on air, and that is okay. I'll be contacting my $7 winners from today and yesterday after the show. You guys have a wonderful day, because C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next.